Here we go, indeed. Welcome back to Into the 99. We've got 99 cards because Commander's number one. I am one of your hosts, Daniel. I am joined today with both Brian and Slothy. Slothy, how are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, thanks. It was a nice, easy week. How are you doing?
I'm good. I was explaining my pay structure to Brian earlier, and I'm happy to be back in a great place. So it was it was definitely nice to go out and do a little shopping last night. And Brian, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. The week went by, like Slothy said, pretty quick. It was a pretty easy week. Really looking forward to this deck. I got to play it last week, so I'm really excited to share it with you guys.
Yeah, this is the... I told you as soon as I saw this, I was like, Brian has to build this.
Yeah, it's definitely different than what I play. Just so everybody knows, we're talking about Yenna, Red Tooth region. Enchantment shenanigans. The only downside is I realized afterwards that I played her entirely wrong.
Oh yeah,
you're totally the stapled activate only as a sorcery.
Yeah, I think it'd be too strong to not.
You could just take a sharpie to that,
right?
Yeah. Usually I'm not down with the activate as a sorcery, but this one's got quite the ability to instant speed. Instant speed Oblivion Rings would be kind of broken.
Yeah, because that's what the setup was I was playing with a Groupug deck who was really enabling us. So a whole lot of land, everything untaps on everyone's turns, just bogus stuff, right? I elked someone with Kenrith's Transformation, then copied the Kenrith's Transformation. At the end of the game, I accidentally used it again to do my privileged position. I don't know if I did that on my turn or on someone else's turn. I could see it being broken. But all depending upon how many, choice artifact or enchantments you have to target.
Yeah.
So it's only as good as what you have on the field.
Fair.
So I guess to read her, right, we have... I always remember I hide the cards and I have to unhide it. So Yenna, Red Tooth Regent, 2 green, white, legendary creature, elf noble, pay 2, tap her. Choose target enchantment you control that doesn't have the same name as another permanent you control. Create a token that's a copy of it, except it's not legendary. If the token is an aura, untap Yenna, Red Tooth Regent, then scry 2, activate only as a sorcerer.
That untap is really cool.
Mm-hmm. Right? And I totally forgot to do any of that, too.
What, the scry 2, the untap, the...
Yeah.
All of it? Yeah.
The playgroup was very forgetful, I'll say.
There's a lot of words on that card. I get it.
Yeah. Especially when there's a lot going on the field, you kind of are paying attention to a lot, so you can kind of get away from yourself.
Yeah. I could see that. This, there's so many ways to build an enchantment theme this way, right? Because you could go just like full out auras that are right onto, like auras right onto creatures, just like a Voltron-esque kind of deck. Right. You can go super prison deck, like super, super, everything is Oblivion Ring, and I'm making all the Oblivion Rings in the world.
I didn't realize how many auras or exile or lock away cards there was until I started looking through for things for Yenna.
Yeah.
And even Alouette or whatever her name is.
Ariette,
yeah. Which you don't even want those for Ariette because you want to be able to have people attacking your opponents and stuff like that.
Yeah, you want to force it.
Yeah. So, and I did not want to do that with Yenna. That just seemed too greasy for me, especially with the last deck that I built. So, just some good things in here.
Prison Yenna is rough. Villain arc. Pardon? Slothy says you're in your villain arc.
Yeah. Oh man,
you don't have the great new enchantment. No, not new, but reprint enchantment.
Which one?
Grasp of Fate, 50-cent card right now. Love to see it
again. That one locks away something. I said that I'm not
locks
going
away
that
something
route.
From everyone.
Yeah, I'm not going that route. I have them. It's just not in here.
True. Take us through your artifacts first to start. Oh, go ahead, Flavi.
Was this the one that you were looking for a Rancor for?
Maybe.
Okay. Because I did find some.
Yes, Rancor would slot right in here. There's also another one, Armadillo Cloak.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. I think it does the exact same thing that Rancor does, but it gives your stuff a lifelink as well.
Okay.
Yeah. So starting us off, we have... Oh, so the problem that I had, I guess I'll tell you guys the struggle. So I played this deck once. I did do a little bit of editing. So there's three cards that I took out. I took out Greater Oromancy, because Shroud's just not good.
Yeah, Shroud's hurting you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realized, so I had to blow it up with my own Aura Shards.
That's funny.
Right? Mm-hmm. Also, Lightning Greaves.
Yeah.
I left it in there because it's free to move it around. So if I did want to target something, I could move it. Mm-hmm. And Sterling Grove.
Is Sterling Grove Shroud or Hexproof?
Shroud. Just yes. Says that other enchantments cannot be the target of spells or abilities.
Yeah.
Let me make sure that that's right.
Being able to tutor for
they have Shroud.
An enchantment with that is pretty solid, though.
Yes.
But not being able to target kind of...
So
it's exactly
Sterling the opposite. Grove was a keep. Due to the search.
Yeah, because you can sack it whenever you need if you want to.
Yeah.
And, but... Sorry, Tep. You can also sack it endlessly because you can keep making copies. Or wait, you can't... Is it other or it's other? Yeah, so you can keep making copies other. And keep searching.
Other.
Yeah, so I guess if I make one, sacrifice the token, make another copy. Yeah. Actually, I didn't even think about that.
That's not too bad.
Well, actually, as soon as you make the copy, you would not be able to actually... I guess
it's... Yeah, but you can sacrifice whenever you want. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I was going back to Yenna's ability for some dumb reason. It's already triggered. That was the predicament that I found myself in. So I did swap up some of the cards. But taking us into our artifacts, we do have our Arcane Signet, two colorless, tap it to add a mana of any color. Than to be in any deck that I build. Just too good.
Then we have the aforementioned Lightning Greaves. Two mana equipment. Equip creature as Haste and Shroud, equipped for zero.
I like those. The I'm just trying to not look forward too badly. We've got your Soul Ring, obviously. You tap, you add two mana. Easy peasy.
And the Selesnya Locket.
Oh, sorry. And also Selesnya Locket. Yeah, three mana.
Tap. Didn't want to look forward too much, and then you look forward too much.
Tap, add a green or a white, and then for four hybrid, you can sack it, draw two.
Yeah. Card draw's not an issue with this deck, as we'll see, but yeah, another two's not bad. And then just to round it all off, we have our Swiftfoot Boots. The Hexproof's what I want. And Haste isn't bad.
I like that.
Might as well, I think, just finish off or go into our... Yeah, let's just finish this deck off already. Let's go to our lands. We're done. Yeah. Let's go to sorceries or instants. What do you guys want to see? My interaction or my fun stuff?
Let's do your fun stuff first.
Yeah.
My fun stuff ramp.
Starting it off, we've got Atraxa's Fall. One in a green. Destroy target artifact, battle, enchantment, or creature with flying.
Just such a nice card from that set.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead,
then Ryan. We do have a Farseek, so we're searching for a plains here. One in a green. Search your library for a plains, island, swamp, or mountain card, and put it onto the battlefield. Then shuffle your library.
I like that. You have Idyllic Tutor, obviously, just to go fetch out your enchantments. Reveal it, put in your hand, shuffle. Three mana, two and a white.
And then we've got our good old Kodama's Reach. Two in the green, search for up to two basic lands, reveal them, put one on the battlefield tapped, the other in your hand, and then shuffle.
Then we have, this card is fantastic. Everyone targets me, blows my stuff up. So this card is a must for me. We have Replenish, three and a white. Return all enchantment cards from your graveyard to play.
Solid.
Yeah. You have Budget, suspend one of that as well, Resurgent Belief. It's one and a white to suspend for two. Return all enchantments from your graveyard to the battlefield. Resurgent Belief's almost just better right now.
Yeah.
Just the cost-wise, both mana and money.
Yeah. $1.50 versus
$100, yeah.
$95.
The foil one, those are apparently a Moxfield foil one's $579.
Of replenish?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably I think it's a judge foil. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. That makes sense then.
Then we've got three visits. One to green, search your library for a forest, put on the battlefield, then shuffle.
I love those keyword cards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like when it doesn't say basic in front of it, too.
Yeah. The next one we have is so much fun when someone actually swings out. Winds of Abandon, or Abanon, as we'd like to call it here. One and a white. Exile target creature you don't control. For each creature exiled this way, its controller searches their library for a basic land card. Basic land card, and puts that onto the battlefield. If you pay the overload, which is 4 and 2 white, it's all creatures.
All creatures you don't control, yeah. What do you mean if someone swings out, though? It's not instant. You can't.
I'm thinking of this as a different card, sorry.
Yeah, you can't instant. You're thinking Settle the Wreckage.
Yes, that was the one.
Settle the Wreckage does settle it, but Winds of Abandon is really good.
Once again, you can just take a Sharpie, scratch that off to an instant. There you go.
Please guess.
This isn't Brian's Enchanted Evening. This is Brian's Flash deck.
Oh, it's my homebrew deck.
Yeah. You're really light on lands here, Brian. Really?
We don't need lands where we're going.
Really light on lands.
The average CMC is 1.92.
Average CMC, low or not, that's real light. It says your average mana value is 2.83.
Architect counts it without the lens.
Oh, so Moxfield pulls up the stats with the lens as zeros? Yeah.
Yes.
That's not good stats.
Makes sense, though.
Huh? I don't know, Brian. That seems really low.
I think that's the perfect amount of lens.
Deck played.
We'll see.
We'll
see what else is here.
Because I have so much stuff that can make my mana.
All right. We'll see. We'll see. I'm a pretty low land man myself, and that looks a little light.
Man, I feel that judgment. I'm not appreciating it this morning.
Or is it 31 lands, but 2 extra sleeves, wink, wink?
No, none of this.
Deck secretly has 33 lands, just fine.
He's catching on to me.
We'll start in your instance here. You've got your Beast Within, because I don't think you can build a deck without it. 2 and a green. You destroy target permanent. Its controller creates a 3/3 green beast. You play this in every deck, and you don't destroy lands with it, and that's my problem.
I do.
Oh, there we go.
So I'm actually pretty sure it was Slothy.
With your Strip Mines?
You blew up something with a beast. You targeted my land, and I blew yours up afterwards.
Yeah, 100%, that was me.
Yeah.
I just wanted to attack you for, was it 2, that badly.
That's fair. I respect that.
Then we've got Elidomri's Call. Green and a white. Search your library for creature. Reveal it, put it in your hand, then shuffle.
Enchantment creatures are great.
Mm-hmm.
We then have Enlightened Tutor. 1 white. Search your library for an artifact or enchantment card. Reveal it, and shuffle your library, then put that card on top of it.
Pretty good.
I like that.
These were $1. I bought all of them.
The Enlightened Tutor's at $1?
No. The next card.
Oh, I thought I was going to say, I too would buy them all at $1. Had they been $1, you would never see them. You got this big full version, hey?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was a great reprint of the year. The Generous Gifts, the 2 and a white, instant destroy target permanent. Its controller gets a 3/3 green elephant instead of a beast.
I love that artwork.
It's really cool artwork. Beast Within and Enlightened Tutor are just kind of, Generous Gifts, I'm reading poorly. They're both just like staple removal cards.
Absolutely.
Like they're just good includes.
I like that it's permanent.
Yeah, I personally would include much more toxic stuff like the prison things in their stead, but.
that would fit more into the theme of the deck.
Yes, it would.
Fit more into the theme, yes.
I have
sometimes you need some instant stuff, though.
I have one upgrade that I just have to share with you before we even get into things. You should put a Soul Sculptor in this deck, because your whole point is you're making enchantments, right?
Yep.
And Soul Sculptor is a cleric, and it's 2 and a white, and it's a 1/1, and you can pay one and a white, and then you can just make target creature become an enchantment and lose all abilities until another player plays a creature spell. So you make enchantments for you, you turn my commander into an enchantment and wreck it for me, especially if I'm putting equipment on it.
That's funny.
Yeah. I spend all my mana putting Helm of the Host on, you spend 2 mana putting it into an enchantment, and an enchantment can't equip Helm of the Host. Oh.
Or if you did do the Helm of the Host, it would be nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying. But I saw that you were missing that card in your list, and it's a stupid card, and no one plays it, and it's really funny.
I might have to put that in there.
Yeah, it's really obnoxious. Connor runs it in his Angus McKenzie deck. That's where I know that one from.
Oh, that makes sense.
And it's brutal because you're turning him into...
combo off with your commander or something? Nah.
Yeah. I think as well, you'd have to check with a real judge on this, but I think you'd be able to turn your non-enchantment creatures into enchantments as well with this. And then when someone plays a creature, they'd both become non-enchantments again. So I think this would be a way for you to copy up your creatures as well.
Hmm. Most of my creatures are enchantment creatures, so I'm lucky there.
Okay.
Because this is basically my Silvella enchantment deck that I made some edits to add in more auras and theme items.
That's fair. That's fair. We keep talking about the deck, and I keep staring at this card like, I need you to know, Brian.
The next card on the list is Swords to Plowshares, 1 white, exile target creature. Its controller gains life equal to that power. There's creatures that just have to go.
Yeah.
And not come back. Never.
If only there was a type of spell you could cast to exile people's creatures so easily, Brian. Prison them, Brian.
I'm not a degenerate, or I'm not that much of a degenerate yet.
Do you have a Swift configuration in that deck?
No.
You don't have a Swift there?
I don't know what that is yet. Before you judge, Daniel, let's get through my list.
1 second, though. I just have to say, Swift configuration is an aura. Oh, I guess you can't. Oh, no, you still. It has flash, so it's 1 mana, 1 white, is an aura. Enchant creature or vehicle, and enchanted permanent is a vehicle artifact with crew 5 and loses all other card types.
That is funny.
It's much funnier, and you can copy it, and not only copy, you can copy and untap with your commander. You know how funny it would be? I'm just saying, from a hilarity scale, let's say that I start the game with a Birds of Paradise, and then you slap a crew 5 on that thing.
Yep.
No birds.
Next one we've got here is Tribute to the Wild, 1 and a green. Each opponent sacks an artifact or enchantment.
I hate that card.
That's too good.
It's a really good card. Mm-hmm. That one's a Brian staple for sure.
Yeah, I like it because it hits everybody. Early, everybody has to make a decision.
Yeah, but it's early game that it hits everybody. That's the big problem.
Get rid of those soul rings. No, if I can't have a soul ring, nobody can.
It's fun to blow Brian's soul rings up.
It is.
Yeah.
Not.
It is. Then you got Worldly Tutor, another card that I didn't even know was a reprint. That's wicked. 1 green, you search library for a creature, reveal it, shuffle, put on top. I like it.
Yeah. So we might as well jump into the creatures, because that's not the biggest pile yet.
Yeah.
So to ensure that I cannot be targeted with a lot of hate that's out there, we have Aegis of the Gods, which is 1 white and a color. 1 white and a colorless enchantment creature, human soldier. You have hexproof, and it's a 2/1.
Solid.
I like that. It's a good one. You have your Destiny Spitter, which is a must in this deck. 1 and a green for a 2/3 enchantment creature human. Creatures and enchantments can't be countered. Great. And then 3 and a green target land you control becomes an XX elemental with trample and haste, where X is the number of enchantments you control. It's still a land. That can be a game ender. Mm-hmm. Like you can just out of the blue have, like, pretty easily in a deck like this, 20-30 enchantments, or you're making enchantments, right? So you can, for 8 mana, you can have 2 30-30s rumbling down at you after a board wipe that you didn't see coming.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The trample and haste, because this can come down, like, again, late game, we could be nearly done. We board wipe, there's no creatures, everything's good, I didn't save any mana for removal. And then you put this down for 2, you spend 8 mana, so 10 mana late game's nothing in a green deck.
Yep.
To 60 damage me? Hurts.
Especially if I still have a whole bunch of enchantments out. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean, right? The likelihood that other people you're playing with are like me and went and bought all the destroy enchantment cards specifically for you.
I hate you.
yeah, specifically for you is small, because only I do that, right? You play a lot of enchantments, Brian. You got a pattern.
Get out of here.
Yeah, so that's
definitely like I said, I'm a simple man, Daniel.
It's a great card too. I was playing we're playing really quickly. I think you left for this one, but when I was out at Ogre's, we were playing a competitive game with Dean, and he tried to lock it out with his Aura of Silence Solemnity combo. Yeah. And I split second on the stack, sudden substitution, took his thing. And he sat there for, I think, 5 turns in a row before he realized he had a Destiny Spinner out and his things couldn't be countered anyways. He just sat there, kept not passing. Made me really happy. Me and Connor both instantly saw it, and we're just every time he said pass, we both went. It was good. Yeah, Destiny Spinner is great.
Mm-hmm. Next one we've got is Dryad of the Elysian Grove, 2 and a green for a 2/4 enchantment creature nymph Dryad. You may play an additional land on each of your turns, and lands you control are every basic land type in addition to their other types.
If you have a mitt full of lands, making like more copies of this guy is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And to help us get to the cards that we need, we have is Edelon of Blossoms, 2/2 green, for an enchantment creature, spirit, 2/2 constellation. Whenever Edelon of Blossoms enters or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, draw a card.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. And that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, your normal Elvish Mystic, one drop, tap for one green mana for like a green for a green. 1/1. Easy.
And beautiful artwork.
Absolutely. You've also got your Findhorn Elves, green for 1/1, taps for green.
And then we got Herald of the Pantheon, one colorless and a green, creature centaur shaman, 2/2 enchantment spells you cast cost 1 less to cast. And whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you gain 1 life.
Nice.
I like that. That's a good way to bring yourself right back up. You've got your normal Llanowar Elves as well, just a one drop tap for one mana again.
Yeah, take that next one.
It's okay.
All right.
Yeah, I will take it. I like this one. Mesa Enchantress. 1 double white for a 0/2 human druid. Also a druid, which is interesting. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you may draw a card. I like that. It's also interesting that Yenna's an elf. I was just scrolling up to see. So you can go elf tribal pretty good with your Titanias and stuff like that.
Yeah. Then we've got Nyx Fleece Ram, 1 and a white for a 0/5 enchantment creature sheep. At the beginning of your upkeep, you gain 1 life.
I was buffing this guy. He was a 6/11.
Oh, jeez.
it was fantastic.
A thick 11, yeah.
Yeah. And then, because I needed to, Nyx Plume Ancient, 4/3 green enchantment creature elemental, trample. If you tap a permanent for mana, it produces 3 times as much of that mana instead. 5/5.
Having 9 times the amount of mana is nice. Do you have your Llanowar Elves for 9 green?
I was going to say, do you have anything to put it in, though?
Yeah, I sure do.
Oh, you got some mana sinks? Okay, I'll wait.
You already saw the mana sink.
Destiny Spinner.
Well, yeah.
That's one. That's mana sink.
No, there's more.
I sure hope so.
That's all you need.
You've got Sanctum Weaver, which is still beautiful art. 1 and a green for a 0/2 dryad. You tap, add X mana of any one color, where X the number of enchantments you control. Again, a must have.
Mm-hmm. Then you got Satyr Enchanter, 1 green white for a 2/2 Satyr Druid. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, draw a card.
Easily, you may draw yourself out with this deck, and it's terrible and great at the same time. And obviously, Brian Staples, Seaborn Muse, 3/2 green, creature spirit, 2/4. Untap all permanents you control during each other player's untap step. I was also thinking of adding in Drum Bellower in here.
Keep untapping. Well, the fact that you can't use it at instant speed, right, makes it so you don't need as much to untap.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sucks.
You have your Citizen Champion, 2 and a green for a 1/3 human warrior, which is another card that gets out of hand fast. Has Constellation. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under control, put a 1/1 counter on Citizen Champion and draw a card. The Maze are nice, like you said, because this is when enters, and if you've got double up effects, which I know in my heart you do, then you're drawing a lot, and you do have a chance of hurting yourself. Right. You got a Reliquary Tower in this thing? You do? Okay, we're good.
Then we've got another enchantment staple, Sithis Harvest's Hand, green and a white for a 1/2 legendary enchantment creature nymph. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you gain 1 life and draw a card.
So much card draw. And just to add to it, we got Verdant Enchantress, 1/2 green, druid. Whenever you play an enchantment card, you may draw a card, 0/2. I think there's like 4 draw triggers in there, 5.
Yeah. You have, I think, enough druids to do the annoying thing. To take people's lands with druids.
You've got 6 draw triggers in there.
Secret Guilt Leaf Avenger.
Oh, I don't have that.
You could so easy, Brian. Your enchantment section is big.
Pardon?
This enchantment section is big, as it should be.
Yeah, that's why I saved it. It's the same size as my lands, 31 cards.
your lands should be bigger than that section for sure.
Nah. We're good. We're good. You saw the mana that I had in there. We're good.
I gotta start off again. No Ancestral Mask, Brian.
I'll be your mask, Brian.
Do you know what Ancestral Mask is?
I think so. No, I think you were asking me that if I was doing that, and I said no.
No.
Someone asked.
Ancestral Mask is 2 and a green. Enchanted creature gets 2/2 for each other enchantment in play.
Oh, yeah, I should definitely have that.
Yeah, it's all the glitters on heroin.
Just think of how big you could make your sheep with that, too.
Dummy
fish sheep. Again, you're criticizing it. We're not even through the full list
yet. We haven't even started the first one of it, but...
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it should start there.
Take it in, Daniel.
All right. We have all the glitters. 1 and a white. Enchantment aura. Enchanted creature gets 1/1 for each artifact and or enchantment control. You're not going to control that many artifacts in this deck unless you run Smothering Tithe, which maybe.
I don't know. I can't see that down that low.
That's fair.
Then we've got Anointed Procession. 3 and a white. If an effect, you create 1 or more tokens under your control, creates twice that many instead.
We'd be doubling. Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then Aura Shards. Do you know what's better than 1 Aura Shard? 6 Aura Shards. Or, Daniel, let me know that my math is wrong. Should have had 8 Aura Shards. Aura Shards is 1 green and a white. Whenever a creature comes into play under your control, you may destroy target artifact or enchantment.
I don't like Aura Shards.
I know. No one does.
I love Aura Shards.
Hate only that when card. It's
on my side, though.
It's one of the ones I never build with. I really have a disdain for that card. I don't think it's fun. I hate it here.
It picked on me.
You were talking about prisoning out the board earlier. And yeah. You don't think it's as fun?
That's what I'm saying. How do you think Brian's going to destroy my prison? It
goes against his choice of play style.
Yeah. We have Bestial Bloodline. Bestial? I can't talk today. Bestial. It's the Bestial. It's 1 in a green for another aura. Enchanted creature gets 2/2. 4 and a green, you can turn it from your graveyard to your hand. Pretty good.
You just swear?
No.
Oh, I thought I heard it. Sorry.
No, I don't think I swore. We'll figure it out. I never swear, Brian. It's a family-friendly show.
That's true. I'm always the one.
Family-friendly place.
Then we got Burgeoning. Single green. Whenever an opponent plays land, you can choose a land card from your hand and put it into play.
To help us get beefy, we have Collective Blessing. 3/2 green and a white. Creatures you control get +3/+3.
A 6/+6 is pretty good.
Right?
I love Collective Blessing.
Or more, yeah.
I'm very happy to see these ones. Court of Grace. 2 double white. When it enters, you become the monarch. Absolutely love that. At the beginning of your upkeep, create a 1/1 white spirit creature token with flying. If you're the monarch, you make a 4/4 white angel. Yep. Good all around.
This next one, I really like Sloppy.
I really like this one as well.
Good.
We got Crystal Carapace, 3 and a green. It's an aura. Enchant creature. Enchant creature gets +3/+3 and has ward 2 and has also got cycling for 2.
Ward? Is ward? Yeah. Phenomenal. Especially when you can make a bunch of them and then distribute them.
Mm-hmm.
We then, here you go, Daniel. We have a Dark Steel Mutation, one and a white. Enchantment aura, enchanted creature. Enchanted creature is a 0/1 insect artifact creature with indestructible and loses all of their abilities.
Other card I just hate.
Except you were just talking about.
No, but again, prisoning, at least you can put your commander back in the command zone, right? These your commander's locked as a 0/1 insect until you draw removal. I hate those cards.
Except you want me to turn your artifact or your person into a enchantment.
Yeah, but that's until I cast a creature spell.
All right.
This one's until you cast an exile effect.
Yeah, I don't know. Destruction effect. I always have a bad feeling about like these kinds of cards in casual because they. This and Dranith, like stuff like that, like things that interfere with your ability to play and use your commander. If your commander's more expensive, I don't mind that at all. I've had games where I'm casting my commander for 20, but I don't like the ability to not have my commander.
You just got to play Derevi then you don't have to worry about Dranith.
Yeah, Derevi's not a cast, right?
No, you can just play it for free.
Yeah, you put it.
Yeah, put it.
What a good old put.
I wonder how that works.
Derevi with Dranith?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you can still, because Dranith is you can't cast things from anywhere but your hand.
And if it's a put ability, yeah. Just put.
Derevi's annoying.
I love Derevi so much.
Go ahead, take the next one then, Brian.
Oh, no, that one's yours.
Oh, what, the doubling?
Yeah.
We've got the less good doubling season, but I still like it. It's 4 and a green. Animate Goose is the best one. It's so good, but it's so expensive. It's 4 and a green. If an effect will create one or more tokens under your control, it creates twice that many of them instead. If an effect will put one or more counters on a permanent you control, it puts twice that many. Probably the best reprint of the year, especially back-to-back, driving that price down.
Mm-hmm. It's so nice to see that one down to $45.
Is that what it's at? Like $30-$40?
Yeah.
Yep.
Beautiful. Just beautiful all around.
Then we got our Enchantress's Presence. 2 and a green. Whenever you cast an enchantment spell, draw a card.
No maze here, unfortunately. Then we have Exploration. 1 green. You may play an additional land on each of your turns.
Solid. There you go, Dan.
Yeah.
Not the prison I was talking about, but we have prison at home. Ghostly Prison is 2 and a white. Creatures can't attack you unless they pay 2 for each creature he or she controls they are attacking. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's rough to have to pay 4 mana to swing.
But if you also have a whole bunch of them out and you make multiple copies of it.
You only have 2 copies.
Not unless you have your doubling season.
Oh, yeah. If you can double, sure. Sure.
Even 2. Say I have 15 out. That's 30 per creature.
How are you getting 15?
15. No, I meant in total enchantments.
I also noticed you didn't have a Risk the Redeemed in here.
Oh, sorry. Ron, I'm thinking of a different card.
You know?
Thinking of a different card. I could go back to bet. I would bet 2.
Oh, Risk is on the creature token. Okay. Okay. Then you're all right, Brian. But I'm watching you.
Yeah.
We've got our Hydra's Growth. 2 and a green. That's an aura. Enchant creature. When it enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on enchanted creature. And at the beginning of your upkeep, double the amount of +1/+1 counters on enchanted creature. This with double season or anointed procession.
Or let's go.
Yeah, I was going to say this with just a second one of this.
Does this go on your sheep?
Yeah, it was most certainly on my sheep.
Because they would trigger
2 times.
Yeah. Like the enter, you get your 1, you get your 1. So even your sheep becomes even just +2/+2, up to +4, up to +8 every turn. Gross.
2 double triggers, yeah.
Yeah. Double is always a fun word.
I'll see if you have doubling season on each of those triggers. The next one we have is some good old fun and a nice reprint that they did, but I have the original here, Karmic Justice, 2 and a white. Whenever a spell or ability an opponent controls destroys a non-creature permanent you control, you may destroy target permanent that opponent controls. You blow up my stuff and blow up your lands.
That's fine. That's the way it'll be. You also have your Kenra's Transformation, 1 and a green. It's an aura, enchant creature. When it enters, draw a card, which is such a weird thing to have stapled on it. It's so good. Then enchanted creature loses all abilities and is a green elf creature with base power and toughness 3/3. The reason I don't feel bad on stream when you guys are watching, when I do things like take Brian's turn and then Kenra's transformation his own commander or something like that, is because he builds like this. The reason I don't mind that, and you saw in my Rhea deck, that's one of the ones I'm bringing out to the face-to-face event, where the target players control each other during their turn. I'm going to Kenra's transformation you, Brian. I'm going to do it our Kenra's transformation.
Daniel.
You're not thinking straight, please.
Yeah, I think you're
I love
too much sleep, Daniel.
I love that. It's Kenra's transformation, another one that really annoys me, but I play it a lot. It makes me mad, but I really do put that in decks.
I remember back when we were at the face-to-face event in Edmonton, we were doing our Emperor game. I played this one against my opponent's commander, and it just visually, I just saw him sink.
Why did you even have to remind me of that game when I got Rickrolled?
That was
this was in the second.
That was the first game, Brian. Game number two. Game number two is a little different. Yeah, the first game.
Yeah, you got decimated in
the first game is an example of why you should be more honest with ranking your deck. Someone played they're like, oh yeah, we're playing kind of mid level decks. We're like, okay, for sure, we'll join you. Then they play just a fully tuned Winota CEDH list into it.
Yeah. He ended up getting through what, like turn three.
Turn four, I died. Turn four, Brian died. Full out competitive Winota list. Woo! The following game was a little different.
Yeah.
Following game was a little rough. I was being annoying the following game.
Yeah.
I think we all were.
The following game was real different. I liked that. It was a good time.
Next one we've got here on the list is Land Tax. White. At the beginning of your upkeep, if an opponent controls more lands than you, you may search the library for up to 3 basic land cards, reveal them, put them into your hand, and then shuffle.
I'd personally cut this. You have 30 lands. What do you need to go search them for? You're not even going to find anything. You're going to search for nothing with this land tax.
Early game.
I trigger it twice and I'm out of lands. Trigger it twice, you get one wheel effect.
Getting razzed or do you run the same amount of
lands? I run 33 lands.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit quiet here.
Slothy's the one who runs low lands. I run 33 lands in everything, regardless. It doesn't matter what the list is. It's 33 lands. There's never an adjustment. Landfall-based deck, 33 lands are going in it no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you asked for mana sinks. Here. Oh, we got...
That's Thunder there. How's it going, Thunder?
Yeah.
Hey, Thunder.
Hey, Thunder, just give me a moment here.
You have your Luminarch Ascension. I'll read while you talk. It is a good mana sink. Good choice for your extra mana. 1W at the beginning of each opponent's end step. If you didn't lose life this turn, you can put a quest counter on it so it gets around quick. And then 1W, you put a 4/4 white angel onto the battlefield with flying. Activate only if it has 4 or more quest counters on it. It's brutal to flood the battlefield. The Beetlefield.
Yeah. So I told them, I was like, if you don't kill me, I'm going to win. Because there was a card that basically just filled our, it stopped our mana pools from emptying. So we were just putting all of our mana away. So I was able to save, I'm pretty sure I was starting to use like one of the life counters to actually count my mana. Yeah. So it's easily over like 100 in each color.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
There is one thing I want to mention here while we're in a little bit of a lull. And it's something that I didn't notice till I was nearly done building my Yenna. I feel personally that you're missing all of the shrines.
Yeah.
Because Yenna's token isn't legendary.
Correct. Oh.
Yeah, so if you had gone like more of the shrine way, right? Then you've got you can have the Honden of Life's Web. So even having 3 of those that trigger at the beginning of your upkeep, you create a 1/1 colorless spirit for each shrine you control. You'd create 9 at the beginning of your upkeep with just one shrine out from your doubling stuff. And if you have doubling season, that's 18. Like the ability to use Yenna as a shrine commander, I think is really interesting.
Yeah, that's actually really neat to think about.
And especially like the because you've only got a few. You've got Boundless Vigor, which is like 1-1 counters at the end step for each shrine you control, but that's a triple trigger. Shared purpose, where you can make a 1-1 for each shrine you control by paying one, which again is huge. Two life for each shrine you control, so I can never kill you. You're a man who can never die. You have the Honden of Life's Web, where you get all of those extras. Sanctum of Fruitful Harvest is the Tuna Green. This is why I thought about it, is the mana sink. You add X mana of any one color while X the number of shrines you control. So again, it's just a passive add like 30 mana. And then you have the tap one, but meh. I just think it's kind of interesting. I wish Yena, personally, had blue. If Yena was a Bant commander, it might be one of my favorite commanders of all time.
I will 100% agree with that.
Yeah, like, I understand why they didn't give it this extra, but
it would be far more stacksy, I think.
Oh, it'd be brutal. And with how many copy enchantments you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, you get it, right? The moment I saw this, I was like, this is a shame. It's blue. They could make this a 7-mana commander with blue, and I would be like, yep, playing it.
You know what? Aatrox and Nev was in there, too.
Yeah, you get it, right?
Yeah.
That's
I'm doing everything.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would really have a ton of fun playing that way, but
with this one, if it had blue, you could have the Decree of Silence and Solemnity combo in there.
Who's the illegal commander? Let's do this.
I'd let you partner with something that's blue.
Right?
Partner with a background, why not? A little shameless charlatan. That makes your commander can become copies of other target creatures.
That's funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Luminarch's Ascension, I had to tell them, like, if you don't kill me, I'm making an ungodly amount of angels.
Luminarch's rough, mm-hmm. Especially because the way that I always play Luminarch is you're locked out. You can't attack me. And then I'm just
there's
like,
a board wipe.
Yeah. Well, no, not even with a board wipe. I just.
No. But there was a board wipe. If you don't actually finish me right now with a spell or whatever, I was like, I'm going to win.
There's another card, Brian, that you were away for that you must put into this deck. You simply must.
I must.
You simply must. It's not in your list. I've waited for the criticism this time. You do have to add Hallowed Haunting.
Hallowed Haunting?
Hallowed Haunting is 2W. As long as you control 7 or more enchantments, creatures you control have flying and vigilance, which is, again, disgusting. And whenever you cast an enchantment spell, you create a white spirit cleric creature token with this power and toughness is equal to the number of spirits you control. Hallowed Haunting would wreck house in your deck. And that, again, you'd be making double.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you weren't here for the Crimson Vow, right?
No, I think I came back at the very end of it. I think it was one of the first boxes that I rebought.
I hate this card.
The next one?
No, just the Hallowed Haunting. Because, again, with you have how many enchantments in this? Like 40 or 50?
Yeah, a lot.
You got 31 in the enchantment section alone.
Plus the creatures, 32, yeah, probably about 40.
Yeah. 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37,
38. You
got 39. 30, so 39? Yeah, that's a lot of triggers for that. That's gross. Hallowed Haunting is really cool, but you can never find it anywhere.
Yeah, we'll have to go and find it.
Did I
read this card? You read the...
Before we go on to it. The problem with a deck like this is that there's not enough spaces to put it in. It should be like standard, where it's 100 card minimum. Let me make a 700 card deck. I know Dragon Shield supports it for sure.
Keep adding in the sleeves.
Yeah, need another stack of sleeves. It's such a good commander that I could sit here and tell you cards that I would have put in it all day. And we would have a second deck list, right? I see what you mean about how much draw you have available. And by no means is me saying like, oh, you need this, you need this. This deck is going to slap. This deck is going to beat face. You know what I mean?
That's surprisingly was quick. I would agree. I maybe could add a land, but like it ran. Like that was the 31 land that I had for my Silvala.
Well, that's the reason I like seeing your guys' deck list is because it's such a different playstyle on me. I'm stripping every instant and sorcery out of this deck except maybe Cultivate. Maybe Cultivate, Kadama's Reach. That's it.
Was Cultivate even in there?
I don't even know if Cultivate's in here. You might only have Kadama's. Yeah.
Cultivate is not in here.
Yeah, I would only have Cultivate, Kadama's Reach. I would strip these boots out. You don't need boots where enchantments are going. Like, I would.
These boots don't go where enchantments need to go.
Yeah, exactly. This is such a big list. So cutting this down, I've started the Yenna list and I haven't even counted how many are there. Cutting it down is something that I admire you for.
Yeah, like I instantly went in. I knew the cards that I kind of wanted. The playtesting really helped me narrow down and found like that Shroud stuff. No, I have to get rid of that.
Yep.
I only made one cut last night.
Oh, it's not because
the other stuff was useful. So I was like, not 100% sure.
It's gross. I like this for sure. The list is very fun so far. Please, now you continue.
Yes, so the next card that I do have is Mirari's Wake. 3 green white enchantment. Creatures you control get +1/+1. And whenever you tap a land for mana, add 1 mana of your mana pool of any type of land that produced.
Yeah. Then we got Miri's Guile. Single green. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may look at the top 3 of your library, then put them back in any order.
Good card.
This card's apparently $42 now. I bought it for $10.
It keeps going up. Yeah, it's a pretty wonderful card.
Yeah.
I prefer this over the library.
Yeah, because it doesn't hurt you as bad, right?
I don't have to pay the life yet, and I can stack my top 3.
We have your Parallel Lives, 3 and a green. If an effect would create 1 or more tokens under control, it creates twice that many. You have a lot of doubling stuff that can be doubled to double.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically, I was able to get out my doubling season. I made a doubling season, so I had 2 of them? 3 of them? Yeah, I would have had 3 of them.
Nice.
Yeah. So then everything that I made afterwards, I was thinking 6, but it should have been 8. But alas.
Oh no, I didn't have 2 more copies of all my problem cards.
Of all my problem cards.
Of all my problem cards.
The next one, this is the only one that I think I'm going to keep in here, is Privileged Position, 2, and Selesnya times 3. Enchantment, other permanents you control have hexproof. I'll make all the copies so I can interact with it.
Yeah. And then I guess if you copy this one, both the Privileged Positions would have hexproof as well.
Yeah. So I can touch my stuff, but you guys can't. I'm happy with that.
Oh, Brian, I've got a lot of sweeps that can touch them.
You sound like a pervert right now, dude. Oh, I'll get them all.
Those destroy all enchantments or non-consensual touches of your enchantment. I do not consent.
These are mine.
Next one we've got here is Sandworm Convergence. 6 double green. Creatures with flying can attack you or planeswalkers you control, and at the beginning of your end step, create a 5/5 green.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad to have doubled up.
Yeah,
or if you have any of your big doubling abilities, I make 3 worms per turn.
Well, before you double them as well.
Yeah,
that's another card that I hate seeing because I like to play flying decks so badly. Just let me hit you.
I love this card.
It's good. You have also have your secret angel deck right now, Sigil of the Empty Throne, 3 double white. Whenever you cast an enchantment, create a 4/4 white angel with flying.
Create all the angels. And then another one that Dan probably dislikes is Song of the Dryads. 2 and a green enchantment aura. Enchantment enchant permanent. Enchant permanent is a colorless forest land.
I actually really like this one. I find this one really fun to play. It does the same thing. I should dislike it for the same reasons. But I really like this card.
Your eyes lit up. I see it. I can see the truth.
Song of the Dryads is a fun card to play. I said what I said.
Slothy, you get the card that I actually added in this morning.
Spectre Warden?
Yeah.
3 double white for an enchantment aura. Gets 2/2 in protection from all colors. This effect doesn't remove auras, which is nice. A lot of people don't use protection auras aggressively, which I think is mean. It's really funny to make other people's auras fall off by giving, like, if you're playing in a Voltron enchantment deck, like your whole thing is everything and I'm Mother of Runes, you to have pro green and they all fall off. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
But you never see it played aggressive like that. It's always, everyone always gives themselves protection.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought this was good just for, again, I was removing protection. So I thought
Spectre Ward's great. Well, it's going to, for the way that I would see you playing it the most, is this is going to Spectral Ward your commander, and then whatever your most important piece on the board is going to be, like your Nyx Bloom, like your Seedborn, all of those kind of things, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be two creatures getting doubled up protection. And every time you're copying, right, Yen is only two. But if Spectre Ward was two creatures you control, get plus two in protection from all colors, that'd be a really good card, right?
Yeah, totally. So,
yeah, all of these things, like your Sandworm Convergence, for instance, right? Like that would be, 16 mana to cast two of them?
Yep.
But you're doing it for 10? Like you're really getting a lot of savings.
The payoff's real good.
You're getting a lot of savings here.
Next one we've got is Sphere of Safety. 4 and white. Creatures can attack you or planeswalkers you control unless its controller pays X for each of those creatures, where X is the number of enchantments you control.
This is the one. So this is what I was talking about earlier. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one would be very hard to hit you.
No one's attacking me.
Especially when you double it up.
That's why you try and include alternative win cons for group hug decks. Group hug and life gain.
Then we have our Sterling Grove, a green white. All other enchantments you control can't be the target of spells or abilities. You can pay one, sacrifice it, and search for an enchantment and put it on top.
I like that. We were talking about the infinite earlier, where you can just infinite search.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I would do. Yeah, every turn I would be like, I'm going to make another Sterling Grove. I will go and search. You can't touch any of my things. Then on my turn, I will go and search.
Right, and then I will play another enchantment. I will draw three cards.
I like this.
Eight.
I like this new artwork a lot of this Utopia Sprawl. Is that from the Wilds?
Enchanting Tales.
Yeah, that's cool. Enchant Aura, so a good untap. It's a forest. When it enters, choose a color. When it's tapped for mana, its controller adds one mana of any color, or of the chosen color, sorry. I really like this artwork of Utopia Sprawl. I really like this frame that they did. I don't know why they included so many things. They're just like, we're reprinting everything.
We're giving everything a fancy frame.
So one second. Thunder in the chat here says, I'm not sure about Sterling Grove. It gives Shroud. Yes, it does give Shroud to your other enchantments. So you can't target the other enchantments, but you can target Sterling Grove with it, which means that you can, until you're ready, constantly use this as a protect everything. Copy Sterling Grove, get a new one, pay one, sacrifice the copy, throw it away. And just keep filtering it out and everything. If you want other, again, it's not good if you want to keep it for, timing is important with that, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you wouldn't be able to, you can't use Yenna's ability at instant speed, right? So you've got to do what you want to do on your turn anyways, yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, like I said, just number one, a 3 mana, this is no different than Idyllic Tutor, right? You're paying your 3 to go and then get your enchantment anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But I really just like that ability to consistently use it. If you don't have other enchantments that you want to do, you're basically just on a pay 3 search loop.
I would like going through the deck and looking at the things that we would kind of say would make it a higher deck. I have the search cards. I have the faster mana. I have like there's certain things that I typically don't play with in a lot of my decks that are in here just because I had them because I love my enchantments.
Mm-hmm.
So like I do feel like this would be probably one of my faster decks due to all the different ways of searching.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, and a Sterling Grove loop doesn't feel bad as a search, I don't think, right? Because it's not infinite.
As soon as you blow one up, they have the chance to blow the other.
Yep. And even if they do, you pay your second, search your second, okay.
Can't be used as instant speed.
Oh, and even if they do, you're searching and putting it on top. So you're already, if you blow it up in between, I'm not getting two enchantments, I'm getting one.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I like it. I don't think these have been feel bad tutors so far.
Yeah, no, a lot of them are just to the top, but I do draw a lot. So almost due to the amount of drawing that's happening, it doesn't even matter if I'm searching.
Fair. I really like this. I'm going to take this next one, the Virtue of Strength. It's an enchantment with an adventure. So let's do the adventure first. It's Garenbrig Growth. 1 green sorcery, return target creature or land from your graveyard to your hand. That's just good recursion early if someone gets rid of your commander and you don't want to pay extra command tax, whatever. But then you've got
any of the enchantment creatures as well if they happen to get blown up before you can copy them.
Yep. Then late game, we've got 5 double green. If you tap a basic land for mana, it produces 3 times as much of that. Instead, and Brian has at least 8 basics in here.
Got 11 of each.
Yeah, I know, but that's I wasn't that far off. That's the problem. Put more lands in here. If I'm saying put more lands, you know you're being a problem.
We're fine.
And the last
Brian special,
the Wheel of Sun and Moon. It's hybrid Selesnya. It's an aura enchant player. If a card to be put into enchanted player's graveyard from anywhere, instead that card is revealed and you put it on the bottom of that player's library.
I can't wait to play someone with a Muldrotha deck.
I was going to say, I know that you want it for you, but the fact that you can give it to someone else and ruin their graveyard deck is so funny.
Or give it to everyone.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing, too, is I want to reiterate, this card doesn't really spell it out well. Dies means to put into the graveyard. This is a full shutdown of all dies triggers. So it doesn't matter if you get have an aristocrat's deck every time something dies. That's no problem.
Just put it underneath your deck.
Yeah. Oh man, that would frustrate me. But yes, it would be hilarious to do in a Muldrotha game. That would be very funny. I would
basically in the game that I was gonna play, Dustin was going to turn all lands into 2/2 creatures and then Massacre Worm.
Nice.
So I wheeled the Sun and Moon and then gave one to each of them and kept a few other copies for myself.
Yeah, this is I really like this list that you put together. And I really like the flavor text as well. The Every Life Ends, but Life Itself Never Does. The same is true for podcasts, and I end right there. No more words. this list is very fun. Like I said, I could give endless suggestions to this because this is a commander that you can do so much with. You have literally, if we were to build this enchantment, just like in a straight auras way, it would be a different deck, right?
Yep.
This is very your play style. It's not as mean as it should be.
As it could be, yeah.
Yeah.
As it should be.
I guess one reason the deck list is probably expensive. Is because I'm a fancy man, and I'm a simple fancy man, but I do have a Seraph Sanctum in here, and that's one reason why I do only run 31 lands.
Yeah.
I have the short, the mana dorks to get me through the middle or the beginning, if I can get out my Sanctum, I have all the mana I need.
It says, like what I'm looking at says your deck's $900 and 400 of it's in your land section right now, so...
I have the Expedition Temple Garden, my Seraph Sanctum, Expedition Bountiful Promenade.
You could do a budget version.
Yeah, you 100% could do a budget version of this.
And you've also got like your Replenish as well.
Yeah.
You have that, but you also have all of the doublers, which are all expensive. Every one of them. Anointed Processions 50, Parallel Lives was just reprinted. I'm sure it's right around 50, 60. Doubling season's always expensive, so yeah, like you could cut this down. You don't need the doublers.
No,
they're nice to have. They're quality of life
because I like.
Well, it's because you have it's because you have those ones, right? Like those are, like you said, you don't feel you get to put those out all the time, right? So,
and I pulled my Parallel Lives.
That's cool. It always is nicer to play with things you pulled. You're like, yes, this, I have a home for this now.
Yeah, I need to show people.
Yeah, I like where you put this.
It's fun. I'm really looking forward to getting a second playthrough. Like, the two cuts that I'm looking at are the burgeoning exploration, potentially.
Two cuts. I'm looking at your entire sorcery section, your entire instant section, and that dark steel mutation.
Additions to land by 20 lands.
Yeah, exactly. Then you'll never miss out. No, this looks like a really fun list. I'm excited to see. I probably won't see it till face-to-face.
Yeah, you're a busy man. You work all the time.
I work a lot.
But that's an excellent thing. Tell them about the face-to-face thing.
Oh, yeah. If you are in Alberta, come out and let me hit my plugs music. Thank you, everyone, for getting to the end of our thing. If you are in, like, Calgary, Alberta, anywhere close, come and hang out with us at face-to-face. We're going to be playing a lot of decks. I have a lot of new decks. We're doing games all weekend. We're going to be streaming a bunch. I think we're doing some collaboration with the Wizards of the North group out here to do some stream stuff with them. I think we're going to be part of their Planeswalker Gauntlet again. We were last time. So
super fun.
Defeat us. Yeah, defeat us, win a prize. Come out and see us. There's lots of cool guests and artists at the event. So it'll be a fun time. Use the promo code, is it Into the 99?
Yep, Into the 99.
Yeah, to get a discount on packages and some extra bonus goodies. And yeah, just come out, see us. It'll be a fun time. If you aren't close to here and able, thanks for just listening to the episode. If you liked it, like, share, subscribe. Tell us what you would have put into it. Why Dark Steel Mutation is bad. Send those comments to YouTube for Brian so he gets it. And yeah, just like, share, subscribe. And then join us on Patreon if you want to talk decks. If you want to be able to pop into the actual live recording of it and talk in the chat on the side and have us kind of answer as well, you can do that. It's going to be lots of stuff we're doing. We're still going to be setting up the stream games. It's just been wildly hectic with the amount of work I've been doing over the last little bit. But we'll get there. We'll get there. And yeah, thanks everyone again. And that's it.
Yeah. See you later.
Have a good one, guys.